Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, and we are at ESPN Radio Lex on Twitter.
You know, not that long ago, we spoke with our buddy Kyle Tucker of The Athletic, but we didn't have that much time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, I figure, well, let's just, he doesn't know this yet, but let's just do like an hour and a half with Kyle.
No
I
break.
Didn't mention that.
No
to
breaks.
Him.
I hope you're prepped.
I just said, can
marathon.
You join us today? Yeah. But, hey, Kyle Tucker, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
We're good.
Hanging in there.
We spoke to you not that long ago, as I said, and it wasn't enough time because you're too good and too important to us in this time when we're all looking for things to hang on to.
Some kind of substance.
Substance, which you provide a ton of every time, but all of a sudden we have like no backcourt. It's really good that we have these graduate guys showing up. What the heck is going on?
Well, I mean, it's, I think, probably, you know, the way things went over the course of the season, about what you would expect. I mean, it's kind of jarring for sure. And now the entire starting backcourt gone, Ashton Hagans, Tyrese Maxey, Emmanuel Quickley making it official today. But, you know, you could make arguments for probably Hagans and Quickley to come back. But Hagans, you know, we kind of know his story. And Quickley, I feel like really his situation was he went from 5 points a game and struggling to get minutes as a freshman to, and on nobody's draft board when this season started, to SEC Player of the Year and probably pretty solidly in the second round. You know, and folks will look at that and say, why not come back trying to be first round? Well, there's no guarantee that's going to happen.
Right.
He's a draft pick right now.
Right.
If he comes back next year and they have a two really, really elite freshman wings coming in, and B.J. Boston and Terrence Clark, I mean, those are like top five guys, the kind of guys Kentucky hasn't been getting lately. They got two of them, and both kind of at in Emmanuel Quickley's way. And so he wouldn't be asked to score the same way. He probably wouldn't play the same number of minutes unless, you know, the real opportunity there is at point guard. But is he really a point guard? And would he thrive at point guard? Or would he struggle and be exposed? And then that, you know, that experiment goes the wrong way.
Right.
You know, and so for me, I know it's hard for people to see a guy like him go. They, you know, one, he was just a really good person. And representative of the program, and so I think a lot of people just wanted to hold on to him, and I get that completely. And I think he loved being at Kentucky and in the community. He was involved in a church here locally. This was a big part of his life, but he wants to be a pro, and he knows right now he's a pro. Right now he's getting picked, and that's not guaranteed. You know, the future, tomorrow is not guaranteed. For a person who's very spiritual like Emmanuel Quickley, that he very much acutely understands that tomorrow is not promised. And today, right now, he is a draft pick. So that's where they stand. They're all gone. Johnny Juzang transferred, so that's all four guards are gone. And it makes getting Davion Mintz way, way more important now.
Can you speak to those of us, including me? I mean, I know what I've read, but can you talk to us a little about Davion Mintz? And we obviously now see how important this is, but tell us a little about him.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I mean, this obviously doesn't come as a surprise to the Kentucky coaching staff because they went and got a guy who could be another ball handler. They knew this was coming in terms of Quickley. And, you know, I think he's not the flashiest grad transfer that'll be signed. I mean, there are people that wanted him to go get the Hardy kid whose brother is an elite recruit in 2021 from UNLV. But that guy wanted to know he was going to be the starting point guard where he goes, and he wants to kind of be the guy. And that could create some chemistry problems with your five-star freshmen that are coming in, the two I mentioned, plus Devin Askew, who's a point guard or combo guard. And those guys all need minutes. Those guys all need the ball. They needed to have a guy who was willing to accept a role, to be to come in and defend, to distribute, to be happy whether he's starting or the sixth man, to provide some experience and maturity and leadership, and I think this guy is kind of a perfect fit. It's not very often that you're going to get a transfer who started 79 games in the Big East, you know, in a conference.
Yeah.
You know, who has, you know, scored 21 points in a game against Marquette, who's had 9 rebounds in a game against Villanova, who's had 8 assists in a game against Marquette, who's had 6 steals in a Big East game and made 5 threes in a Big East game. He's a legitimate high major Division I player, proven player.
Yeah,
he's not making a step up, really. I mean, you know, the Big East last year was as good a conference as a better conference, basketball conference, than the SEC was. So this isn't like taking a mid major guy. This is a high major player, proven. And so very important, can play on the ball or off. So, you know, if Devin Askew turns out to be an unbelievable point guard right away or at some point, he can play off the ball as well. You know, 35% career 3-point shooter, not great, but that's serviceable.
We take it.
Could get better.
Yeah.
You know, he can make a shot. He's a good defender. He, I think, was top 10 in the Big East as a junior in steals. You know, he led the Big East as a sophomore in assist-to-turnover ratio, so he takes care of the ball. Just, I think, a really solid player who can do a lot of different things. And, again, he's not going to upset the apple cart. You know, he's going to come in and add to the chemistry, I think, and not potentially take away from it.
Everything that he said that I've read is exactly – I know people can say things, but I know that he means it. And when he says he wants what's best to make this team the best it can be, I believe that, and it's not just about him. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kyle Tucker. I don't have to spell that. People know how to spell Kyle Tucker. We get some weird things, but, I mean.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker's not one of the more difficult names to spell.
For us it is, but not for our listeners, because they're really bright.
Spell check will help you with that.
Now, you have on here, on your Twitter feed, a very interesting thing about if we had Keon Brooks, E.J. Montgomery, Davion Mintz, and Matt Harms.
Hey.
Do you know something that we don't know? And if you do, tell us right now.
Yeah, I know that they're in the mix room.
Oh, okay.
He released the top 10 that had Kentucky on it. You know, I think Kentucky, Gonzaga, Arizona would probably be the teams I would look at and say those are the contenders for him. And as far as I know, Kentucky's pretty deep with him. You know, they've had pretty extensive conversations. When you hear what he says he wants to prove himself, show what he can do to the NBA. Kentucky's got, you know, the very well-known long line of NBA big men. Kenny Payne coaching those big men, and that's his whole reputation, is getting guys ready for the league. They've got pretty well have a starting spot they can offer at the five, which one of the things he's looking for, too, is to make sure he's going to get, you know, a major role.
Yeah.
He ended up in a situation at Purdue where he's splitting time with another big man who they couldn't play together, so it was one or the other, and they basically split it down the middle, and each played about 20 minutes a game, and he wants more than that, and Kentucky can promise. I mean, they need big men. He would play a ton if he can.
And it's Kentucky. I mean,
and it's Kentucky. Where you're going to be a championship contender, and you're at a blue blood. I would think that all of those factors put him, you know, put Kentucky really high on his list.
Yeah.
And then the other part of that tweet, you know, if they get he and EJ, I think, and from talking to people, it might help them convince E.J. Montgomery to come back if they got a true certified starting center, because he wants to be the four. He wants to be a forward, plays away from the basket. He doesn't want to be shoehorned into the center position. That he doesn't feel like that'll help him, you know, in terms of presenting himself to the next level. He's not going to be a center in the NBA. So, you know, I think if they get Harms, that may help seal the deal with E.J. Montgomery. I think he's very much up in the air. He's the one guy who could go either way. You know, I think Nick Richards has yet to make his announcement, but we are fairly confident he's leaving. And so that just really leaves EJ. And I do think he's kind of still a coin flip.
And maybe that's why he's still waited, is to see what a Matt Harms is going to do for EJ.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I think it's just the circumstances dictate that there's not really a reason to hurry. Everything's pushed back. The NBA's, everything about the NBA is pushed back. The draft's probably going to be pushed back. And so, you know, maybe August, I think I saw. And so there's really not a huge rush. That helps. But, yeah, I mean, I would certainly, if I was him, I would want to wait and see how that situation resolves itself.
Yeah, and but as you say, he should come back. I mean, I know a lot of guys, every day now we see this one declared and this one from this school and this one. And EJ should come back.
Yeah.
As you say, there's no scenario that in which he shouldn't come back, right?
Well, he's not going to get drafted.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Like, so, I mean, if it matters him to get drafted, you know, I try not to tell these guys what to do, you know, with their lives and futures, but, you know, excuse me. Sorry, I had a little coughing fit there.
That's okay. We have them all the time.
Yeah. You know, I try not to do that because I don't, you know, I don't know all their situations and for a number of reasons. It's their lives. But, you know, if his goal is to be in the NBA, you know, the best path to the NBA is not leave Kentucky and not get drafted.
right.
You know, especially when you are a guy like Jay who has the raw materials and has shown, you know, bits and pieces of what people want to see, and you have a huge opportunity. Like, you know, they will lean on you next season. You can be that guy next season. You know, you just watched Nick Richards be that guy this season and solidify himself as a draft pick where he had no draft stock and now he's going to get picked. It's just the math for me doesn't really add up if he wants to be a pro, leaving with very little proven and in a time where you can't go impress people in workouts and the combine. You know, if you're just if he's just relying on, like, he went and did some workouts last year before he decided to come back, and I guess some people, according to his family, said, told him some things that were encouraging, and he probably would have gotten drafted, yada yada yada. But it's not last year, and you know, everybody, that what people saw in you last year was a guy coming off his freshman year, working out and projecting what you might be in year two, and then you had year two, and it was still pretty uneven.
Right.
So that, to me, that resets the opinion of you in all those people's minds, and if you don't have a chance to work out again for them. Or just go prove it over the course of a year for them, I don't see how you think you're getting picked.
Right.
I don't think he will get picked if he leaves. So,
yeah.
You know, but he would not be the first Kentucky guy to basically look at it and go, I'm probably not getting picked. I'm going to go anyway.
Yeah.
Briscoe did it, and he ended up getting himself one season in the NBA, and he's not with anybody. Was not with anybody last year, but he did get one season in the NBA after spending a year in Estonia.
Yeah.
and I'm not making that up. Like,
No, I know. Estonia. Hey, that Estonian league is really something, pal. Don't be disparaging the Estonian league.
Yeah. And Winyon Gabriel did the same thing, and he went and boiled for a year or two in the G League and made a roster last year.
Yep.
And so it can be done, but that's not... I mean, if you got to go toil somewhere, would you rather do it in the luxury of Kentucky basketball or in the anonymity and the grind of buses and foreign cities and G League, you know, motels?
It's a pretty good argument right there.
So you have it pretty good staying here at UK.
It's up to those kids to decide, but
you
know, it's not as glamorous. I mean, I went and spent a couple days with Dakari Johnson when he was with the G League team in Oklahoma City. While a couple years back, while I was on a trip to Texas A&M, they were playing a game in Austin, Texas, and met up with Dakari Johnson at an extended stay motel. And, you know, talking about, you know, flying on Southwest commercial flights and getting wedged in between two people with no exit row seating as a 7-footer. 7-foot, 300-pound guy, and, you know,
the little things that you don't think about. Yeah,
in a year where he could have been the starting center on a Kentucky team that only needed a big man to be a Final Four contender. Mm-hmm. Ulis and Jamal Murray in the backcourt, where they flew that season on the Miami Heat's private jet. That was Kentucky's mode of travel. You know, and they stay in five-star hotels.
I know which one I'm taking.
The Lowe's Vanderbilt. The Lowe's Vanderbilt is like a $600 a night luxury hotel.
Yep.
And, you know, Dakari Johnson is at the extended stay.
With two twin beds smushed together.
Well, some guy in the hotel was cooking fish in his room. The whole time I've been viewing Dakari Johnson, it smells like death.
Want some tilapia?
See, this is the kind of stuff you can't get anywhere else. I'm just saying. But before we let you go, I want to let people know this. And this was on Twitter also. Right now, you can get a 90-day free trial of The Athletic. And I'm telling you, it's great that people can get a free trial, and they should. But whatever you got to pay to get The Athletic, you should. We do it, and there's no better place for sports writing than The Athletic. No better place. So
I appreciate that.
We'll keep talking about this. And thanks so much for coming back with us. It's great to have you. And you're absolutely, I think, the best source for Kentucky basketball. Just fantastic.
Right. I could not be more grateful for that. Really, really appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks, Kyle. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. Hopefully, I mean, that was fantastic.
We can talk to him soon once we get a little insight on Mr. Harms. Maybe next week we get an update.
All right, calm down.
I'm just putting it out there.
Calm down.
In the universe.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's how it works.
I do stuff like that, too. All right, when we come back, our buddy, the voice of the Reds, Tommy Thrall, will join us. Why don't we get... Let's have Tommy call a half inning of the game now.
Spend his whole segment calling a game.
Yeah. We can make the baseball sound effects in the back of the
let's do that.
Swap.
I bet he would like it. He'd probably want to get paid, though. All right, this is ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.